Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the third Sunday in Lent, 2010.
A reading from the book of Exodus. Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. Leading the flock across the desert, he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, an angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in fire flaming out of a bush. As he looked on, he was surprised to see that the bush, though on fire, was not consumed. So Moses decided, "I must go over to look at this remarkable sight and see why the bush is not burned." When the Lord saw him coming over to look at it more closely, God called out to him from the bush, "Moses, Moses." He answered, "Here I am." God said, "Come no nearer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. I am the God of your fathers," he continued, "the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. But the Lord said, "I have witnessed the affliction of my people in Egypt, and have heard their cry of complaint against their slave drivers. So I know well what they are suffering. Therefore I have come down to rescue them from the hands of the Egyptians, and lead them out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey." Moses said to God, "But when I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' if they ask me, 'What is his name?' what am I to tell them?" God replied, "I am who am." Then he added, "This is what you shall tell the Israelites. I am sent me to you." God spoke further to Moses, "Thus shall you say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you.' This is my name forever. Thus am I to be remembered through all generations." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Lord is kind and merciful.
The Lord is kind and merciful.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all my being bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
The Lord is kind and merciful.
He pardons all your iniquities, heals all your ills. He redeems your life from destruction, crowns you with kindness and compassion.
The Lord is kind and merciful.
The Lord secures justice and the rights of all the oppressed. He has made known his ways to Moses and his deeds to the children of Israel.
The Lord is kind and merciful.
Merciful and gracious is the Lord, slow to anger and abounding in kindness. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so surpassing is his kindness toward those who fear him.
The Lord is kind and merciful. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all of them were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from a spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was the Christ. Yet God was not pleased with most of them, for they were struck down in the desert. These things happened as examples for us, so that we might not desire evil things as they did. Do not grumble as some of them did, and suffered death by the destroyer. These things happened to them as an example, and they have been written down as a warning to us, upon whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, whoever thinks he is standing secure should take care not to fall. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Some people told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with the blood of their sacrifices. Jesus said to them in reply, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were greater sinners than all other Galileans? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 people who were killed when the tower at Siloam fell on them. Do you think they were more guilty than everyone else who lived in Jerusalem? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will perish as they did. And he told them this parable. There once was a person who had a fig tree planted in his orchard, and when he came in search of fruit on it, found none. He said to the gardener, "For 3 years I have come in search of fruit on this fig tree, but have found none. So cut it down. Why should it exhaust the soil?" He said to him in reply, "Sir, leave it for this year also, and I shall cultivate the ground around it and fertilize it. It may bear fruit in the future. If not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Hello and welcome to your Sunday Reader. I'm Father Brian, and I'm here today with Dawn.
Hello, everyone.
And Dawn, we're here to discuss these readings about the fig tree and the people who were murdered in Galilee.
You
and
know,
the people
sort of
on who
like...
the tower fell.
It's like you're listening to the 6 o'clock news. That's really what's happening in the beginning of this gospel. You know, it talks about people that were murdered and people that just an accident happened. It's almost like, I don't know, hearing about maybe in Afghanistan some innocent people that were killed, and then the earthquake in Haiti, all these innocent people that died.
Or Chile now, too.
In Chile, right. Yes, so... what are we supposed to get out of this, Father Brian?
Yep. Well, I think this reading gives us a lot of important things. One of the key things is that Jesus tells us that this is not related to sinfulness of people. And despite the fact, I think that most of us know that instinctively, mm-hmm. I think, but there still tends to be in our society, I've seen it where people decide, well, this happened to them because they did this, that, or the other. Uh-huh. When I was a seminarian, before I came to Canandaigua, the summer before, I was working in a soup kitchen type facility for people who were HIV positive. And I remember talking to one person who thought that the reason that he had AIDS was God's punishment for his sexual promiscuity and things. Mm. And again, this gospel kind of is the proof text against that, so to speak, that it's not necessarily we experience various evils because we've done something wrong. And Jesus says, you know, do you think that the people who suffered, the Galileans who suffered at the hands of Pontius Pilate, did so because they were worse sinners than everybody else in Galilee? You know, no. And he said, or do you think that the people who the tower fell on, it fell on them because they were worse sinners than everybody else? No. So he warns them that it doesn't have anything to do with the degree of their sinfulness or something, that they've faced these tragic situations. But he uses this as an opportunity to say, nevertheless, you should all repent of your own sins. This doesn't mean that we don't repent of our sins. The fact that we don't experience, you know, punishment for them in this earth, he does say, you still need to repent or you will perish just as they did. And I think when he's talking that second time, he's not talking you'll face earthly consequences, but you'll face eternal, heavenly, spiritual consequences that are far greater than a tower falling on you or an earthquake or anything else, as tragic as some of those things can be.
Right.
So then he goes on, though. One of the things that I think is really powerful, though, is this second half of the parable, because I think the second half of the parable really gets into what it means to be Christian. And that's, we see this fig tree and the gardener comes by and he wants it cut down. And the reason isn't because the fig tree did something bad. It didn't do something to deserve to be cut down, but it didn't do anything good either. It didn't bear fruit. And that's so important for us as Christians, is this whole notion that we need to be bearing fruit in our lives. It's not just about avoiding sin or saying, well, you know, at least I didn't kill anybody. Mm-hmm. It's about you have to do something good as well. It's not just avoid evil, but it's do good and avoid evil. That's really what the gospel commands us to do.
You know, I like that they, I first should say, these are hard readings. This, especially the Gospels, a hard one to, you know, we like to talk about how much God loves us and isn't that lovely? And, but when we're called to, you know, look at maybe how we are, we choose not to look at, or we choose not to repent, or maybe we don't even examine our conscience enough to look where sin is. But this parable of the fig tree, I really like how they put these two together, they being
the gospel writer. They being Saint
but
Luke.
Also God, and then how the church didn't cut it off, I guess, when they were forming the lectionary. They didn't cut it off just with one. But so we hear the story about how we need to be aware, and that we don't know the time that we're going to die. So we need to be always living in with an eye towards repentance, but also that the fig tree tells us about God's mercy. You know, here, even though we haven't been producing fruit for 3 years, he's going to give us more time, and that he will cultivate the soil around us. And so that if we choose to, that we want to start bearing fruit, the work is being done and his mercy is present.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the things, too, that I think is interesting, just kind of going along with this topic of us needing to repent and things, I don't know if you heard, I just recently heard this from a friend of mine on Facebook, and then I did some research and found out that it was true. The Vatican just came out with a list of 7 new deadly sins, and by I don't know how long ago that is. It could have been a couple of years, I don't but he had posted them on his website. They're kind of an updated version. And I think these are good things for us to think about in our own lives, and what are we doing? And they really go along with a consistent life ethic. So let me read them to you, and then maybe you'll have some reaction, because I didn't give you any forewarning on this, and I'll mention some things as well. So one of them, number one is bioethical violations. Number two is morally dubious human experiments. Number three is drug abuse. Number four is polluting the environment. Number five is widening the divide between the rich and the poor. Number six is excessive wealth. And number seven is creating poverty. And so some of these things, I think, are things that we don't always think about. Or when we think about them, we do it in kind of an abstract way. And we don't really think about our own participation in them or of them being really deadly sins. Especially, I think, as Americans, those last few should hit us. The widening of the divide between the rich and the poor, the excessive wealth, and the creating poverty. And these are all things that I think we look at and say, gee, how good am I about these things? Polluting in the environment. This is another one. You know, how often, you know, how conscious of am I of taking care of the environment around me? And again, I'm not saying that, you know, everybody needs to run out and buy a hybrid or something today. But I think that we do need to be aware of how am I taking care of this environment, and how am I contributing to the pollution? Am I trying my best to, you know, recycle when I can, do carpool when I can, or do I just say, you know, I prefer driving on my own or something, so I'm going to just go on my own. You know, when we have these opportunities, can we do that? Drug abuse is certainly one that we see so often in our society, you know, from celebrities on down. And but really, it gets to that point of, you know, how are we treating our own bodies? And then, of course, you know, morally dubious human experiments. You get this a lot of time with, you know, prison camps and things like that. But also, I think that you could get some, probably there's probably some pharmaceutical companies and things like that. And same thing with the bioethical violations. You know, how are we treating our bodies? Are we engaging in biological things that are not ethical, whether it be when it comes to reproductive issues, end of life issues, sexuality issues, all these types of things. So I think that, you know, really what I found with these is these are really things that I think can speak to us today more so maybe even than some of the traditional 7 deadly sins, where they're a little more abstract, or some of them are more remote from us. Most of us aren't worried about going around killing people or some of the other things. But these ones here, I think, can really hit home at times.
I don't really know where the concept of 7 deadly sins came from, but For me, and so you can correct me, not that I'm ever wrong, but wouldn't all sin be considered deadly sins almost? Because if sin is separating us from God, then that's a type of death, I guess. In my mind, I'm trying to work it out.
Right.
So it's...
Go ahead.
That's the end of my statement.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I think you're right. I honestly don't know the whole history of these seven deadly sins. Maybe I'll have to look that up myself and mention it next week or something. Give people like a little hook or something to join to tune in next week or something. But
the teaser.
Right, exactly. But you're exactly right that all sin separates us from God. So all sin is deadly, which is again why I think in the gospel Christ is warning us, you need to repent or you will perish. And certainly we can say we know certain sins are worse than others. One of the things, I'm doing this course right now on the catechism, and one of the things that I mentioned in relationship to sin is that we also have to remember that everybody's been given different amounts of faith and different understandings. So the one thing we want to be careful not to do is treat this like your college chemistry class where all you need to be is ahead of the curve, so to speak. You know, well, you know, I got an 80, the mean was a 70, so I'm doing pretty good. Because we don't know when it comes to sin what type of faith everybody's been given. If I've got, you know, a gallon of faith, but I'm only living out a quart of that, sure, I might look better than somebody who's living out, you know, a teaspoon worth of faith. But if somebody has only a teaspoon worth of faith and they're living that to the fullest, I'm still doing a lot worse than them, even though in the eyes of society, let's say, people might say I'm doing better or I'm holier or whatnot. And that might mean that I'm in line behind that person who's only has a teaspoon of faith but is living that teaspoon to the fullest, where I have a gallon and I'm only living out, you know, a quart of it or something like that. Now everybody has to go back and learn their measurements again or something.
No, that's what I'm thinking.
But I mean, my point is basically that sin has to be judged by what we know in ourselves. And that's where I think your point that we have to be honest with ourselves and really reflect on our own sinfulness. And that's something I don't think we tend to like to do, first of all, or do enough. And then, of course, the thing also that we learn from the readings today is that God's mercy is there for us. You know, we have it in the sacraments. We have it in the sacrament of reconciliation, the sacrament of anointing, the sacrament of the Eucharist, which are all means of forgiveness of sins and baptism. So, you know, four of our sacraments right there involve some kind of forgiveness of sins, and we need to take advantage of those and seek out the sacraments in the appropriate context and make use of that forgiveness, seeking God's mercy. That's really what the sacraments are about. It's not about punishment for sin. And I especially say that with the idea of penance in mind, because I think that a lot of times people don't tend to use that sacrament enough. And really understanding that it's about receiving God's mercy. If we want to receive God's mercy, let's seek it out in the sacraments.
Very true.
Anyway, Don, we have come to the end of our podcast. And hopefully next week people will join us and we'll try to have an answer about the origins of the seven deadly sins on that podcast. And hopefully people will take this time to reflect on their lives and to repent in the ways that they need to repent. And hopefully they'll join us next week on Your Sunday Reader. Have a good week. God bless.